we'd see him high and lifted up. Father, we give you these moments. Thank you for the worship team tonight, Father, exalting you. Thank you for the joy you put in the hearts of the saints as they rejoiced in your presence. Thank you for giving us this time together. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would come, that he'd renew us, that he'd speak into our lives. Father, without your ministry here tonight, there'd be nothing said that brings life. So I ask that you would meet with each person, that you'd come alongside each one of us, that you'd speak into our hearts tonight in Jesus' name. We love you, God. Amen. Amen. You love him? Amen. In the beginning of the first gospel, the angel came and began to proclaim that a Savior would come, that his name would be called Emmanuel. And things changed. So that would be interpreted God with us. And something began to happen that the earth had never experienced before. God himself was walking with us. He took human flesh. Mary would conceive a son. He'd be called Jesus, our Savior. And the hope of all mankind came into existence at that time when Mary conceived and brought forth that little. The hope of all the nations. Something would change. Never be the same again. Because God himself was manifest on the earth. God with us. Jesus came to dwell among us. Acts talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about releasing those, healing those that were afflicted, releasing those who had come under the attack of Satan and been under his bondage. And if you look through Mark, I like to read Mark in regards to this as you begin to read through Mark immediately. First thing that happens in Mark miraculously is Jesus sets a man free. Because that's who he is. When he stood up to read that first time in Luke chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, where he began to read his home synagogue, said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." I like to read it from the King James Version, which is what I'm accustomed to. I know most people have moved on now, but like I say, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm kind of stuck on it. So there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's the ministry of Jesus, what he came to do. Anointed by the Holy Spirit to do these things. One awesome ministry that manifests itself in these different dimensions. One of those being to set the captives free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, and deliverance to the captives. It's that compassion of his heart. It wasn't a pretty thing sometimes. And because what Satan does in the lives of men and women is not pretty. It's not even something that I enjoy talking about or discuss very much. And when I minister freedom or deliverance to somebody, my focus is Jesus and what he's done. I don't talk about a lot of stuff that has to do with darkness. I don't like to even think about it. I like to worship him because he's the one that sets us free. It's not pretty what he came and did sometimes. But can you imagine going into a place and you spit and put it on somebody's eyes? That's out there, isn't it? I mean, what if I start doing things like that tonight? I haven't ever done that before, so I don't expect to. Or spit on the ground and make some mud and start rubbing that on somebody. Or touch your tongue and spit and touch someone's tongue. You know, that sounds like strange things. You know, Jesus did that? I don't understand all the dimensions of it. It's why I don't even begin to understand all that has to. I'm very much a novice when it comes to what goes on in the spiritual realm. I know that Jesus came to bring life to those of us who were once caught in that darkness. So when he did those radical things, he did unusual things, he knew what he was doing and he understood what he had in mind. That he was drawing forth faith and life for these people, for these beloveds. As I mentioned in Mark chapter 2, I believe it is, where he begins to come and release those who have been held captive, those whom Satan had bound. We don't see that kind of thing a lot in our lives. We don't see what Jesus was doing happening. But I think it's more because we don't understand than because it's not there. Do you ever realize sometimes the kind of thoughts that come against you, the kind of things you think, where did that thought come from? Why did I feel that feeling? Why am I being hit like this? Why am I down right now? Why is this going on? It's because Satan goes forth like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when Jesus boldly broke in and did those kinds of forceful things that he did, and he'd just walk right into the kingdom of darkness, unafraid, and thankfully unashamed to do it for us. Unashamed to be in human flesh, having loved us enough to take upon himself the role. Yes, Satan could have mocked him, saying, look at you. You've relegated yourself to this. Don't you know how wicked and evil mankind are? Don't you know how fallen and broken, and now you're coming as one of them? But he boldly came for us and moved into the realm where we live to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. And today in this life that we live in, I believe that there's more activity than we could even imagine. And I hesitate to say anything like that in this sense that I in the past, being a pastor for that long, I've seen youngsters get a hold of any idea that there is such a thing as an evil spirit, and that's all they want to talk about. That's all they want to do. But it's needful to know that we do have an adversary, that we do have an enemy, that there is a kingdom of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, the darkness that we battle against, and encourages us to do what? To put on Christ. And goes through the different parts of our armor as those things that pertain to the knowledge of Christ and knowing him and having him in our lives, the salvation, the truth, the faith, putting those things on so that we're clothed with Christ, we're in him. Peter told us that everything we need that pertains to life and godliness comes through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It's through knowing him that we're provided with everything. So it's not necessary to have a whole lot of knowledge of how Satan operates, but it is important to know that when you experience those things that come from the realm of darkness that are to sift you, that are to cause you to stumble, that are to bring pain and darkness into your life, to know that what you need to be free comes through Christ. That as he broke in on the stage, as he did in the Gospel of Mark, and began to direct demon spirits to release people, and people marveled, had never seen anything like that. That was just the beginning. That when Satan rose up and convinced people and moved in people and had him crucified, something was accomplished. The kingdom of darkness was forever broken. And though Satan may bring things into your life and into mine, it may even cause us to stumble, cause us to fall. What the cross of Christ accomplished means that his power is eternally broken. Paul said, I have glory in the cross of Christ, Galatians 6:14, through which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So that the power that the enemy may have had in my life is now broken.
I love the idea. I love the truth, the wonder of the cross that has forever crucified the world to me, so it has no more hold on me, so that what was true of Christ is now true for me. Jesus said, the prince of this world comes, he has no part in me. Aren't you thankful for that? In all of the temptations and trials, all of the attempts of the enemy to bring him down, there was no place in Christ. There was no fault in him. Pilate was the only one that could find no fault in him. There was no fault in Christ. The enemy had no place in him. And now, because we are in Christ, we too can be free and can walk into that place through the cross of Christ where the enemy has no place in us. Having received the redemption through his blood that we've received, so that now the world is crucified. And that means that all the things that pertain to this world, so that what the hold that the enemy would have had on me is now broken. So that I can say now that I will go in the strength of the Lord God and make mention of his righteousness, even his only, because of what Jesus accomplished. And the hold that Satan would have had, what he would have been able to place on me and say, now you're mine. I can say, now I'm his. And you can say that you're his. But whether you live or whether you die, you are the Lord's. Because the power of sin and death broken. God with us. God himself coming and walking among us, setting captives free, moving in the lives of those that he touched, of those that he come in contact with. And now we're told that he's in us, and we've experienced that grace, that this same one that was called Emmanuel now indwells us and calls us to walk in his light, that his life, this same glorious liberty that he demonstrated in the lives of the people he touched, could be in us. And that we could bring forth righteousness and be free in him. And he chose that it would be through us that this message would come forth. So he gives gifts to us. He gives the gifts of the Holy Spirit to us. And one of those is he allows that realm to be opened up so that the things that Satan would do in the darkness brings to the light so it can be seen, so it can be released from our lives so the captive can go free. Father, tonight, I ask for a special gift of hope to be ministered to myself and everyone here. That you would give hope this ministry that Jesus was anointed to do, working in us more and more, that there'd be a dimension of freedom, of liberty, of bringing liberty to captives that would break into our lives. Father, tonight in Jesus' name, ask that you'd visit me and this congregation tonight with hope that in the same power that you manifest as you walked on the earth, you'd manifest in the lives of those that we love. Father, you are dear to us and precious to us. And where the enemy would come and try to rob us in any way from being free, from loving, to love you and to serve you and give ourselves to you, we ask for help. We ask for hope, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, how I love you. Let's just minister to the Lord for a minute. Just minister your love to Him. God, how I love you. Welcome you here tonight, Father. Welcome you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Yours forever. You're yours, Father. Would you take? Thank you, Father. Tonight, Father. Tonight, Father. God, how we love you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for drawing us to yourself. Thank you for being here with us, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Pastor, could you just come stand with me for a minute? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, brother. I just wanted the pastor to stand with me and agree with me for a minute. Sometimes when I minister in this area, there's some uncertainty, and I needed that grace and that help, that strength, that peace to come. And thank you for standing with me, brother. When the Lord comes, to minister freedom to someone that He loves, that's what it is. It's His love and it's His compassion. His desire, His longing to bring life, to bring little ones to Himself, those that are His, those that are bound. It's out of that compassion of His heart, that longing, that desire, that nothing would hinder me or hinder you from being able to follow Him and to know Him. It would not be distracted, that we would not be caught. And kept from a relationship with Him. It's in His compassion for us, His love for us, is what He moves in. When He would see the crowds and His compassion would come into His heart, He would begin to minister to them. I run from Him sometimes when I'm attacked, because I begin to identify with what's going wrong in my life. And I avoid Him. I want to get it right before I go to Him. That's not successful. I've never found the help that I need by trying to get it straightened out first myself and then come to Him. tonight in a desire to bring a vision of this great deliverer. Only He can bring that into our hearts, to see that a Savior longs to give help to those that are in need. And we're called to come to a throne of grace to receive help and mercy in time of need. I mentioned earlier, things go on in our lives and we don't know the source of them. We don't know what happens. We think that was weird and that was strange. Because there is a realm filled with the spirits of darkness and with evil that attempt to war upon your soul. That's why it's important to stay close to Jesus. That's why we pay such a price if we indulge the flesh, because those things that are listed as the works of the flesh open the door to the ones who create that activity in the earth. And we're surrounded by it so much, you can't turn anywhere in the world without those things that pertain to the works of the flesh. Just boom, boom, it just hits you. Just all the time, they're just there. Some time ago, I was quite young, but still a pastor at the time, I had to go through this rural area on a regular basis. And I'd be driving down this little country road and these thoughts would hit. Wow, where did that come from? Shake them off, you know. Get your mind, get your heart focused upon the one you love and go on upon the Lord Jesus and go on. And wouldn't you know that one day, driving through there, I had a flat right there. Problem with my vehicle. I had to use a phone. I don't remember the details of it. It's been so long as to why I needed to. Something came, I had to use the phone to get help with my vehicle. And I walked to this house and knocked on the door. And this was in the days where the phone was hooked to a line in your house, you know, not like today. Where So I go in and they send me back to this next room to use their phone. And I walk into that room and the wallpaper, I didn't know such stuff existed. What was, I guess this was their bedroom probably. It was plastered with, you would not believe. And I certainly will not describe what the wallpaper was. And I realized, oh, I've been driving by this place. I get hit with these thoughts. Had no idea what kind of house I was passing. But I'm just using that. It's not a thing that, you know, like I said, I don't like to talk about these things. I don't like to stir up these kinds of thoughts. But you don't know why some of the things are attacking you, that are attacking you. That day I understood. And I don't recall, I still had to go through that area a lot. I don't recall having that kind of problem after that, because I kind of understood now what I was dealing with and why. But we're surrounded. There is a realm, and we're surrounded by spiritual wickedness in high places, where Satan, from the tops of whatever power he can establish on the earth, down to the smallest little person, he tries to exert his influence, because he comes to rob, to kill, and destroy. He hates those that are beloved of the Lord. And he wants to bring damage to us and to prevent us from giving ourselves fully and wholly to the Lord. Darkness is his method to keep us from the truth, to keep us from walking in the light. So the encouragement in the scriptures is to follow close, follow after righteousness and have that place that doesn't keep him from wanting to stop you. And sometimes you think, I must really be doing something wrong, because I've been trying to walk with the Lord and I've encouraged myself and I'm doing these things that I thought were right, and I'm having more trouble than ever. And that's the case as well. Satan doesn't look to see if you're doing a good job following Jesus and leave you alone if that's the case. It's not uncommon for a young believer to come under especially heavy attacks just because they made some real good steps. And it's at that time that the name of Jesus becomes so precious, and the authority and the dominion that he has over the enemy. Because Jesus promised that you would know the truth, and the truth would keep you free. And so for me, that's one thing I love about what Jack likes to do in discipleship. The way to stay free from what the enemy is doing in your life is to be a disciple of Jesus. Is to walk closer to him. Is to have the word of God in prayer. There have been many times that as a minister someone would come with a need and God would just show me what the enemy was doing in their life and allow me to have a part in helping them to break free. But I think that started for me, it's not like a magic thing at all. I think the reason that he let me have the light to look into that and help ones is because as a young man, I'd take days to shut out everything else and spend some time in prayer and fasting. Not in a thing that I earned anything with the Lord, but there was a hunger in my heart to see what he had for me. I wanted to know, what do you have for me, Lord? I want to see what you have. I want to see what you've got for me. I want to know what you want. And out of a hunger for that, it became more important to me. If I had some spare time, and by that I mean I was a young dad and a student and working and all that. And so, I mean, if there was a space of time that I could shut myself in and get away from the world and get away from everything, I'd take that time and shut myself in for a while and just seek him. God, I want you. I want to know you. What do you have for me? What do you want to tell me? What do you want to show me? And the word of God in prayer, that hungering after his word and hungering after his prayer, after his presence with time for him, will bring you to a place where you begin to have in your own life a God would come and show you then, because you're hungry for him. In that way, we avoid all the craziness that sometimes comes with discernment and knowing what's going on in the realm of the spirit. You've known people that once they begin to realize there is such a thing as an evil spirit, everything going on around them is something they want to cast out, and it can get kind of crazy sometimes. But if you're coming from the standpoint there's a longing to know the kingdom, to have the kingdom of God come for you, that your life is in sync with what God has for you, and there's a place where the enemy has no right to intrude between your love for Jesus, your desire for him, your longing for the truth, because the truth of God, if you just walk in what the word says and walk in the truth, then the truth set you free. And if you're in Christ, if you know the Son, you can be free indeed, kept from the power of darkness. But when you and I get into a place of trouble and we need some help, I'm thankful that he set in the body of Christ spiritual gifts, that someone could prophesy to you and you could hear the word of God that would bring to you what you need, that someone could move in some of the other, a word of wisdom or something like that, and bring health. And one of those gifts is the gift of discernment, being able to see and to know what the enemy is up to. It's God reaching into the areas of our life to bring help, to prevent the enemy from taking an area of our life and working us over with something, that he has some influence somehow, where he gains influence in our lives. There's that new song, I don't guess it's new probably, but the hurt and the healer, it's kind of like, for me, that's what discernment is. It's where the hurt and the healer collide. Where the what's wrong in my heart, what needs to be taken care of in my heart, runs into Jesus. When he takes a look at my heart, and I don't know why we considering what I really believe is the activity of the enemy upon the earth, I don't know why we don't see it more, except for ones like me. This kind of a challenge to me tonight to stir this gift up again and to teach on this gift, because Pastor mentioned that I've been pastoring for 40 years, but you get lost in the daily care, and just like we all do in our daily care of our lives, you get lost in the daily care and in the administration and that sort of thing, and you sometimes neglect some of the things that God has called you to and some of the things that you know are important and precious in your life. And I haven't had those periods recently of coming aside and shutting out everything else. Because you get busier and busier and you neglect those areas of your life. But the pastor called and asked me to teach on this, kind of thought, wow, what have I been doing recently? But Jesus would tell the disciples, there's the one instance where there was the man with the dumb spirit, and the disciples tried to minister freedom to him and they couldn't help him. A bunch of people come together, a crowd got together, and it got to be a big spectacle. Jesus comes up and they start telling him, we brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't help him. It's one of those instances where Jesus moved in that glorious power that belongs only to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There is no one like Jesus. Do you understand, if it were not for him, we could never be free? Do you understand, there would be no hope outside of Christ? And this man didn't have a chance of ever being anything except deaf and dumb and throwing himself in the fire and the water. That was his destiny. That's what his life was going to be till Jesus showed up that day and walked into his life and drew him from that place of darkness into a place where he wanted to follow Jesus when it was over. Because he's free. He's new. And in that instance, Jesus said, these kind come out only by prayer and fasting. I believe the reason for that is not that you're going to earn the right to cast out a devil because you fast or pray a lot. But I believe that in the coming to God and emptying yourself, being that measure of desire to where it becomes more important to you than your food, than your other activities, than anything else in your life, where knowing him and following him becomes the most important thing in your life. So you pray, you fast, you forsake everything else to know the Father and the Son, to have fellowship with him. And when you get into that place where that kind of union with him, that kind of love for his presence, that kind of wonder at who he is that makes you put him in that place, then you can speak to a devil and they hear you. With the finger of God, you cast out devils. It's God, not you. You pass that place where it's you anymore, because you find that place where Christ himself, the hope of glory, dwells in you. And he's using you. He's ministering to you. And people go free. Stood in a church in Costa Rica with a young lady. Didn't speak Spanish well enough to minister to her. She came in after the service, and I could see her heart was just heavy. She was probably in her late 20s. And I saw she needed to know that she was forgiven. It's that light that God sheds. And I could have wondered what's wrong with her, and I could have struggled, but just when I saw her face, and that's a lot of times when God will let me see, when I can see someone's face, saw her face. I didn't need to know Spanish to open the Bible and show her in the Scriptures. I can definitely read Spanish in that regard and tell her that her sins were forgiven. I'll never forget the look on her face when she heard that. Here's a stranger from America. The first thing he tells her when she walks up is, your sins are forgiven. Shows her in the scriptures. She just burst out weeping and sobbing and releasing all of that to the Lord. Similar thing in Japan one time where a young Japanese pastor that I was ministering to, God let me look and see the burden that he was bearing. That's a hard place to be if you're a Christian. It's not coming in and having wonderful worship like we had tonight in churches all over. It's not a common thing in Japan. And the load that he was carrying and what he was feeling, I spoke to that when I discerned where he was. And I'll always remember him. He was tall for a Japanese man and about my height. And he just laid his head over my shoulder and wept till my shirt was wet. Because God released his heart. Because the captive went free. And I don't know what's going on in your life. I know the kind of things I battle. I know how the enemy wars on me. I know the resistance I get. The confusion that comes when you're under attack from him sometimes. That's why I love Jesus being the Prince of Peace. I hate confusion. I love peace. I love to be in a place of peace where righteousness, peace, and joy is my lifestyle. That's where I want to be. The enemy likes to try to insert the things that are from his kingdom. I don't know what you've been battling with. I don't know what kind of attacks that go on in your life, but I know the one who made you. You're twice his. He created you. And then he died to redeem you and buy you back again. You're wonderful to him. You're precious to him. He created you in his image. And then when sin came to bring death, he came in your image to give his life for you. You're his treasure. The treasure in the field. He sold everything to purchase you, to pay the price for you. And I know that in his love and his compassion for you, he longs for you to be free. He said, cast your cares on me. I care for you. Enemy may have gotten a foothold somehow. As I mentioned a little earlier, it's not always something wrong. It could be something right that you've done that makes him attack you, that makes him want to harm you, wound you, and do damage to you. But if it's all right with the pastor, I'd like to just say after this that I don't know. How'd be the best way to handle it? I'd like to pray for some people if they would like prayer, if there's some areas of need, Pastor. Well, just come on up and take it from here and help me with this as far as ministering to folks. Or can we do that? Just jump in and if that would be appropriate.
Okay. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are giving us, oh God, a holy spotlight upon things, oh Lord, you want to come to the surface. Perhaps things you want to skim off, things you want to compliment, things you, God, you want to confirm. We praise you, God, that you're just with our brother here today. We just receive, oh God, this ministry, this gift, oh God, tonight. Let him, oh God, have freedom, liberty to minister, God, to speak out according to your will, your desires. We just open ourselves up to you right now, Holy Spirit. We are open vessels. We are those, oh God, who want to receive you, Father. We hunger and thirst for the things of yes. God tonight. And we say, have your way, Father God, this time we have together.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Right, Jesus.
Could we have the praise band do a song?
Yeah. The worship team come back up here, maybe do one song.
Yeah. And just anyone who feels a need in this area, just come and let me stand with you before the Lord for a minute while the praise team does a song. I'm going to cut this mic off, Pastor.